Amen. Thank you, Brother Darrell. Nehemiah chapter 2. I was reading Nehemiah, so my heart just settled on chapter 2 as I was reading through the book of Nehemiah. And we'll probably start off on verse 11, but we'll take as many verses as we can tonight. Let us build for the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 2, starting there in verse 11 in Nehemiah chapter 2. It's pretty easy to find. If you go to Psalms and turn to the left, you'll find it before long. Let us build for the Lord. You know, that's the reason we're here. That's the reason God allows us to stay on this earth, is build for Him. That's the reason He takes us on to heaven whenever we're saved. He got something He wants each and every one of us to do and build for Him. And the story goes, you know, that Nehemiah has been in captivity in Babylon, and the Jewish nation was carried away into captivity in Babylon during Daniel's time. Remember Daniel and three Hebrew children when they were carried away, and Isaiah prophesied they'd be there 70 years before they'd be returning back to their homeland. So we know that the king at that time of Babylon, he went into Jerusalem and he captured all the young people and the well-to-do people, and he tore all the walls down, burnt the gate, just destroyed the city, just left the remnant of the old and the needy there to defend for their self. Been gone for 70 years. God said, I'll wean you one way or the other from your idolatry. So he carried them away to the very heart of idolatry there in Babylon. So we find out here in Nehemiah, it is the book of Nehemiah turning back, going back to Jerusalem now, God's people, to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the gates and also the temple of the Lord. Nehemiah, he worked, had some principles, and his principles that he used to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates around Jerusalem are the same principle that we might use spiritually here in our world today to do God's work. So much of work needs to be done. Rebuilding the God's walls. There are walls of our spiritual walls have been torn down that we know that needs to be rebuilt. There's a wall of our testimony. We need to have a testimony for the Lord, and also the walls of our protection. We have the Word of God. The walls of separation have been torn down. You see, the world has got more churchy, and the church has got more worldly all the time, and you can't tell the difference. There's not no separation. The walls have been torn down in the church and the world today, and it's hard to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian in the world that we live today. So that walls have been torn down. Also, our walls have been torn down of our witnessing for Jesus Christ have been torn down. Our soul winning effect. That has been broken down, lying down in our church, and we need to bring it back again, and we need to rebuild our broken down homes we have in our country, our broken down families, and also in the area of our church. Old Nehemiah, as he goes back, and you know that he's already there in the king's palace, and a few of his brothers come to him in chapter 1 and told him how the city of Jerusalem laid in ruin. He's a Jew, and he could probably might not remember because he probably have not been born there in Jerusalem. He was probably born there in, I guess, Babylon. That had been 70 years. I don't know how old that he was. But he knew that Jehovah God and how great he was and what he'd done for the nation of Israel. But looking back, and they told him how the gates had fell down and been burned and the walls were torn down. And it says, you know, that Nehemiah, he just wept and he cried. In fact, chapter 1, verse 4 says, and it came to pass when I had heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heavens. I think we all ought to do some weeping because we look out upon our nation, for our homes today and our individuals' lives and also our churches. I really think we're doing some weeping as we see the walls lays tore down and in ruin in so many areas of our life today that we should do some weeping this day. It makes me think about as Nehemiah began to go back, and as he traveled back to that place, he looked at those walls and looked at that city, and I can just imagine the tears probably come in his eyes, knowing how great that nation was at one time, how God had blessed that nation so great, and now it's just laying in ruins. You know, it already calls us the same thing tonight for us to look back upon our life and our country and our homes, and you see the great blessing that God had blessed us with in this country, and the home life that most of us as adults, and we're old enough to remember back the home life that we had in this country, and how so much different it is today than it was 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and even 30 years ago. that God has blessed us so much, and how we've got away, and the walls have been tore down in our home life, and been tore down in our church life, and been also tore down in our individual life. So it'll cause us to do the same thing. But you know, we're here to build God's work, and we left us here to build up God's work. First of all, we have to start in our own life, and our family life, and also in our church life, that we might be able to build for the Lord. We have a lot of things that's tore down. But I'd like for us to read this one verse. It's old Nehemiah now, as he comes back and he views this. And the verse 11, then I'm going to read these as I go through them. So I'm just going to read this one verse. And this is the way that old Nehemiah, he used some of these six principles that I read this. And the sixth principle fulfilled their function. It goes over into the third chapter, and I don't know how far that we'll get tonight. But these principles that Nehemiah used as I was going through this all day today, and also most of part of yesterday, these are things that I focused on. Nehemiah used these principles to rebuild those walls and to rebuild those gates around that city. And those same spiritual principles of the day, also that we can use to build up our life, our spiritual life, especially our home life and also our church life, as we let us build for the Lord. As we build our personal life, we need to build it for the Lord. As we build our family life, we need to build it for the Lord. And certainly, as we build the church life, we need to build it for the Lord. There's so much rebuilding needs to be going on today in our country, and starting in my home, my house, and starting with myself this night. There's so much rebuilding need to do. It says in that verse 11, "So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days." Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word that leads us and guides us. Father, you did not leave us in this old dark world alone, but we have the Spirit of God that you said that you would send the comfort to be with us, Lord, that he's with us, each one of us, this hour that knows Jesus Christ. But not only that, Father, we have the promise of your precious, precious word, and how each day it should grow precious to us, Lord, knowing, oh God, that it is the road map, and Father, it is the light of this world we have in our hands we might hold and we might read in every area of our life and our church life and our family life and our home life. Father, we just want to ask you that you might bless in a very special way. Even here this night, Father, we just pray that you might open our hearts for our understanding. And Father, you might speak through your word and speak through your spirit this hour. Father, the areas in our life that need to be reclaimed for Jesus Christ. And also the walls that's been broken down. The gates have been burnt of our life, our home life, and our church life, and also our country that we live in and we call the United States. There's so many areas we need to build for you. Father, help us, oh God, to get back to these principles. Father, that old Nehemiah, he brought to the people, and they rebuilt the glory for that Lord Jehovah at that time. Father, we thank you, Lord, this hour, and all the ones we've prayed for this day. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. First of all, we find out that he says, "I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days." He had to investigate. I would like for you to look upon your life tonight, your family life, and see if there are some areas in your life that you need to be reproved on, and also that you need to bring back to the Lord, maybe if it's got away a little bit. And he says, you know, that there was so much rubbish. There was so much rubbish, and there was so much debris that he couldn't even pass. I mean, that was a lot of rubbish and debris that he couldn't even pass. Go around the wall. He went there and he viewed that city, looked on it, got on a horse, and he was going to ride around that. In fact, I probably need to read that verse 12. He says, "And I rose in the night, I and some men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon." Now Nehemiah gets on a horse and he goes around the city. And there was so much debris, you know, the walls are tore down, there's so much debris and there's so much rubble that he couldn't even get past. And that's one of the things I want for you to look at in your life, as I said, the areas that I've talked about in our life, our family, our church life, and also in our nation. There's so much debris today in those areas of our life. There's so much rubble to rebuild our lives, our family, and also our church life today. All so many things that's not of God in our life, in our home, in our family today, that it's hard to rebuild. But there are six principles there. If we'll just be true to the Lord, that he'll help us rebuild these areas in our life. It says in this passage now, if you look in this passage, and I read these two chapters pretty well this day, and I landed here in the middle of this chapter 2. I'd like to give you a little bit of help as you begin to study the Word of God. As you study the Word of God, you read a passage, I like to tell you how I do it. You might want to do it a different way, but what I do it, I begin to look at it, and I say what it means to them at that time. In fact, you put yourself in the Bible, right back, and you focus yourself back with Nehemiah, and you picture yourself like old Nehemiah, then you ask the question, what it meant to them at that time. Well, what did it mean to them at that time for the walls to be torn down and for the gates to be burned up? What did it mean to them? Well, we know what it meant to them in one way of speaking, because the walls at that time was for protection. I mean, they needed protection. They had the walls up because a man was up on the tower if the enemy came. And you know what? He could holler, let them know that the enemies was coming, and that was a wall of protection that they might be protected. But also the walls were for separation. And I mean, they had to have this separation from the world. But most of all, it was a testimony for worship. I mean, this was a great testimony for worship. Now, that's what it meant to them. The walls are broken down. Just remember now, they would be probably coming into those walls there, and they'd be out on the edge of the field, edge of those walls, and they may have some garden planted just before it come time for them to harvest that garden. Here comes somebody in, and they just steal all their garden stuff. And it was hard for them to make a living. The poor people's only one that left, and they just got to the point, they were just, what can I do? Because every time I try to do something, I have these walls are torn down. We don't have no protection. We don't have no king. We don't have anybody. And we're not separated from these people that come and takes everything we have. Well, it's the same thing today. You know, a lot of our walls have been torn down. And when I tell you tonight, a lot of Christians are defeated, are you not? Don't you know a lot of Christians get defeated in their life, living this Christian life, because there's a lot of these, so much debris in our Christian life and been torn down that we just don't have this, the portion of protection that we need in our life. And then what does it mean now? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to our day? As you look around this country now, as our nation, what does it mean to our nation? You look at the walls that have been torn down around our country. You know, it says there over in Job that God put a hedge around Job that the devil could not get in. You know what's wrong with our country? You know why we're failing? You know why we're having such a hard time? You know what? We're going to have more hard times? It's because the walls are torn down. The hedge has been removed by God. And we have no protection. Don't ever think depend on the power of our military that keeps us safe. It's God that keeps us safe. I'm going to tell you, it's the power of the Lord that keeps us safe. Those walls have been torn down. The hedges have been removed from our country. An onslaught of all type of religion is coming into our world. We move God out. And that wall of separation has been torn down for years. You know that this was a God-fearing country, but it's been torn down now. And you see, whenever you move God out of your life and move God out of your country, you move God out of your church, you move God out of your family, there is a vacuum that comes in. And then it's filled with all type of isms, Islamic faith, all type of cult religion, and all type of witchcraft, idolatry. That's the reason we're having all this problem in our country for the young people and all this dope we have. Why? Because I'll tell you, the walls have been torn down. The moral laws have been torn down in our country. Oh, what does it mean in your family? Look at family life that we have in our country. Oh, the walls have been torn down in the family life. What does it mean to us now? What does it mean? It means that our walls have been torn down. Now, what does it mean to me personally is a third thing that I look at. What does it mean to me personally? As you search your heart and your life today and you see some walls have been torn down that you need to regain for the Lord and rebuild for the Lord, do you used to do the same thing that you do it now, or used to that you used to sing, you don't sing now, you used to teach, you don't teach, you used to do this, and you don't do it no more? You used to visit, there used to be visitation, you don't visit anymore. Whatever that you used to do for the Lord, you're not doing it now. The walls of visitation may be torn down in your life. The walls of soul winning may be torn down in your life. Whatever it might be in your life, look at it. What does it mean to me for these walls to be torn down? Well, we know that Nehemiah, he had the truth of the Word of God. If you say, keep these three things in your heart and your mind, what it meant to them, what does it mean to us today, and what does it mean to me personally, then you find out what Nehemiah had to say. Nehemiah, he takes the Word of God, and it just, as he begins to do what God told him to do, that you find out if you keep these three in your mind, it's just the Word of God. It just leap off the pages down into your heart and just fill you with fire. Nehemiah received a commission to go out. Every one of us has received a commission to go if we are saved and been born again. We come and, you know, God talks to us, the Lord, to go out and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. These six principles. The first thing, what he done, he fixed his focus on the main issue, what needed to be done. That's when he rode around those walls. And he viewed the thing and see the problem that he had. As I said, he rode around the wall. Nobody with him, but he rode around the wall. Nobody but himself. And he viewed the problem. And you need to be viewing the problem today. I can't view it for you. I can't tell you where you need to be strengthened at. Your family, your home life. But he viewed the problem. He fixed his focus and he understood what it was. That's the first thing we need to do. And even as a church, we need to look at the focus on what we really need to do. Nehemiah had a mandate from God. As I said, he'd already in chapter 1, verse 4, where they had come to him and told him the problem. He had to go see it for himself. God had sent him back. And, you know, he said he sat down and wept and he mourned. How long has it been since you sat down and you mourned certain days, you fasted, you prayed before the God in heaven? What about some issues? How about some people that we just prayed for tonight? Will this be the last time that you mention these names to God till next Wednesday night that you hear their names called out? Are we able to call them out next Wednesday night if you hear? Or will you do this all during the week when someone asks you to pray for them, that we need to pray for them? Or would you pray for someone that's lost? Would you pray for our church? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for each other? Just our prayers. You know, he just sat down and wept. How long has it been since you wept and mourned for someone in your family or your home life? And maybe some of your family members or your loved ones are not really serving God. They may be lost. And you know some family, some friends right now that God's put on your heart, and you know you still hadn't went to them. I mean, you still hadn't visited them. You hadn't even prayed for them. Your family, your loved ones, your friends, and your neighbors. Nehemiah knew how to get with God. And I'm going to tell you, Nehemiah knew how to get along with God. If you don't know how to get along with God, if you're not praying to God, if you're not reading, if you're not doing what God has told you to do, the ABCs of the Word of God, you know it's like a ship without a rudder. You're just living each day without a rudder. And like a ship on the ocean without a compass or without a sail, just being tossed about. Do you have a focus on what you need to do? A good aim, you see, and we need to shoot. God has a plan for your life, something. He's got something that he wants you to do. That you're special to God. He got a special job for every one of us to do. God calls and God equips us to do that. Have you fixed your focus on the purpose that God has called you? The will of God. God will lay someone or something on your heart that if you might fix your focus on that problem, or either you need to fix your focus on that person, but God will let you know. Paul says, this one thing I do. What do you do? Paul said, this one thing I do. What's your goal? Nehemiah, he had to fix his focus on the problem as he rode around that wall, and I could see him as he rode around and shook his head and probably with tears in his eyes. You know what's wrong with us today? We're not broken. We're really not broken. We really don't care. We're cold so many times. Do you fit in any of that? This one thing I do. But you see, not all that, but he found the facts that he needed to do, that God had sent him to. In verse 13, 14, and 15, he says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. The gates thereof was consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the walls and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. I went all the way around and he viewed this. He found out the facts, just exactly what he needed to do. He get out the facts and he looked at the conditions. Oh, he says, God, we got a lot of work to do. God's work lay in ruin. The city, the walls, was laid down in ruins. In the day, the walls and the gates around Jerusalem were a symbol, as we have today, a symbol of salvation. Around that walls was tore down, those gates was burned, that was a symbol there of God's salvation to his people, of the security and the protection of salvation and God's glory. You see, God's salvation was laying in ruins. God's glory was laid in ruins because the walls were tore down. That's what it meant to them at that day. There was no more glory of God upon that little city. It's called Jerusalem. As you look upon that city, what does it mean to us today? People not being saved as they should be saved, as they ought to be saved. God's glory. Every time that someone's saved, God's glory is upon that person. There's not enough of glory today because there's not enough of people being saved. We're not concerned as we should be. Why? Because the walls of salvation is tore down in our hearts and our life and our family life and a lot of time in our church life. That we're not witnessing, we're not soul winning. We're not interested in seeing people saved as we should be interested in seeing people saved. Nehemiah cried about this because it pictures salvation, also pictures the glory of God. And if you're a child of God this night, it should bother you that no more people are not saved. Who have you witnessed to lately? Who have you cried upon? Who have you asked God to save in the last month? You see, it ought to bother us too to see the salvation laying in ruin, the glory of God not being glorified because someone is saved. The greatest glory of God is when someone is saved, born again, all angels out rejoice in heaven. What have you done lately to bring someone to the Lord? People not being brought to the Lord. Walls are crumbled down, distorted. Also, look out. Our freedom is falling in our country today. What did Jesus do whenever he came on this earth? Did you know that there was a lot of slaves? In fact, there was probably more slaves that said there was free people at that time. But he didn't go around trying to free the slaves. He went around for salvation. The gospel. You know what? That will free us today. We wonder about our country. You know what? The great religion of the day coming into our country, the Islamic faith. You know why it's growing so fast? Because Christians are not doing what they should do. Let them come. Let them come from all over the world. But meet them whenever they come and let them know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and they need to be converted. That's what the problem is in our country this day. Are we a missionary church? Well, I tell you how missionary we are. We'll have a visitation. We'll see how missionary-minded we are as a church. Let them come. You know what would change your family? Everybody gets saved in your family. You know what would change our community? Everybody gets saved in our community. I know that everybody's not going to get saved, but they need to hear the gospel. They might have a chance to be saved. And let the people come. Let the Islamic faith come to this country. But meet them, I say, with the grace of God and salvation. And I'm going to tell you, you just lay open this Bible. Let them have the Koran if they want to. But I'm telling you what, this Bible laid aside the Koran will stand. It'll stand the test. Let them open all the words of God in all the schools they want to. Let them have all the types of Bible they want to. Let them have the Jehovah's Witness. Let them have the Mormon Bible. Let them have the Koran if they want to. But let the Word of God lay there. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't have to worry. It'll stand for itself. Because it's only this Word that's alive. It's only this Bible. It's only this book that's alive. And it'll cut going and coming. You just tell them about the Word of God. But you see, we lay in ruins today because we holler about the Islamic faith, and you see them growing all the time. And just about every city you go in, you see that there's great worship temples that they put up all over the place. And it makes people kind of cringe because we see this religion coming and growing so fast in our country. Well, why is it growing? Because Christians are not out doing what they should be doing. That's why it's growing. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we put the Word of God out, it don't matter. We put the Word of God out, I'm going to tell you what, it'll do the job. You wouldn't have to worry about them growing because Christianity be growing. Oh, I say we're losing control very fast in our country. I really believe it keeps going under this great administration we've got now that socialism, communism is coming at a fast rate. And so many people don't see. Why? Because they're not saved. Nehemiah surveyed it. He looked at it and see how and what he had to do. For himself, for us, for the family, and for the church, and you answer this hour, what are we doing for the Lord? Good gracious. Well, he went around, he looked, then he formed a fellowship. He saw the need. He fixed his focus around all that debris. I can see it right now so plain around those walls. He found the facts. He knew what he had to do to protect those people and to rebuild those walls. And then he knew he couldn't do it by himself. This, I can't do it, and one of you can't do it. So he formed a fellowship in verse 16 and 17. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, I see the distress that are in, how Jerusalem lay in waste, and gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, he says, now here's what he said. He formed a fellowship. Let us build up the walls of the Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Let us build up the walls of Jerusalem. Let us build up the walls there of separation from this world through salvation. Nehemiah knew the strength in numbers and the strength in unity today. I might go out witnessing. I do go out witnessing. But I'm only one person. But we call for visitation of everybody in this church. We'll meet just one day. Everybody, every able body in this church would meet just one day and go out. What a difference it would make in your life, in your home life, and this church if we done that just one time. Why? The strength in unity. What it would make a difference of everybody in every Sunday school class once a month. Once a year would go out. Once a year. What a great change it would be. The visitation and the soul winners, the numbers would grow so much that we'd even have to build more Sunday school rooms. Rebuild the walls of our witness and our visitation, our soul winning in our church. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, 3:9. And it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbands. Ye are God's builders." Ye, said, all of us together, we have power together. You all saw these Canadian geese flying. I know all of you have. They fly in a V formation. Why do they do that? That one lead goose gets out front, and he cuts the path for the rest of them. And it makes it easy for the rest of them, that leader. After that leader gets tired, he moves back and another steps up. And they tell me that they can fly 72% further than one long goose can. 72% further. Now, who taught them that? Who taught them that? God did. And that same God is telling us the same thing. He put it in our heart. He put it in nature. Nehemiah knew this. And that's the reason we bond together as a church. Let us do this together. Let us build the walls of salvation in this country together for God's glory and the separation. Everybody, as I said, will come one time. Saturate this area with the Word of God just one day. What a great outpouring of God, power, and blessings it would be if we had come together in this unity of soul-saving salvation. Then we would be missionary-minded. Oh, Henry Ford was a mastermind at organization and corporation. Here's the words he said. "Come together is a beginning. Keeping together is a purpose. Thinking together is unity. Working together is success." You'll find that in your business life. You'll find that in your family life. And you'll find that in your church life. It's all together with the Lord. Building for Jesus. He formed a fellowship. That's what it's called, a church. He got them together into unity. What can we do as a church together? What can we do as a Sunday school class? What can we do as a choir begins to sing as we come together? But also he fortified his faith. In verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work." He revisited the past. You see what it said to them in that verse 18? "I told him of how the hand of God had been so good to me." So he's fortifying his faith. He's building it up. He surveyed and looked back and reviewed the past. He knew how what the king had done. The king had given him permission. He'd give him protection. He'd give him provision because God had put it on the king's heart so he could face this future. So what he does, he sees all the work we got to do. We see the souls that need to be saved. You get a view of the walls are tore down and our salvation for the Lord today. and we get a good focus on this, get us together, and you see, how are we going to move forward in this? Well, the same way old Nehemiah said, we're going to face the future by looking back at the past. He said, look how good God's been to me. Look what God, look back as a person today. I said, you take this now. Look what God has done for them. Take it down. That's what it is, the Word of God. He said, now, think about this. Look what God has done now for that nation Israel. And they go all the way back in their past. You see what God has done for the nation Israel and brought them where they at then. Well, he see how good that Nehemiah, he said, look how good that God's been to me. Now, personally, look how God now has been good to you. Has God been good to you? Well, you review your past. You know you got some problems you're facing out in the future. I know our senior citizen, you know we have a lot of problems. I thought when I got old I wouldn't have any more problems, but they just get more intense. You get old, you won't have no more problems. That's when the problem starts. They just get more intense. The battle gets more intense. We got problems. We look out in the future. We don't look. How are we gonna go through this future? Well, the same way Nehemiah said, what are we going to do? How are we going to rebuild? How are we going to go through the future? The same way that we look back at the past, that same God, the God of yesterday, is the God of tomorrow. That's how we're going to go through it. There's some things in your life you say, I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, how'd you make it this far? You go back, you look at the past, see what God's done for you. How are we going to make it in this economy that we're living in? Our jobs and, a medical Obama plan. We don't know what we're going to have any medical care, and he gets through messing everything up. What are we going to do? Well, the God is taking care of all that. He took care of us in the past when there weren't no Social Security. He took care of God's people, did he not? There weren't no medical care that the government took care of you. God took care of people. He always will. The same God that took care of you then is the same God going to take care of you tomorrow and today. That's what Nehemiah said. Look how good God's been to me. That's how we're going to do this. The God of yesterday is the God of tomorrow. Look in our church life. Say, remember now, look in your family life, look in your church life, look at Nation Israel life, and look at what he's done at Pleasant Hill. We need to move out for the Lord. I mean, we need to respond to what God has given us here, this opportunity. Who brought us this far? Look what we have here at this church. God done it. We didn't do it. God did. We need to fill up these pews. You think we can? Well, we're more numbers than we used to be. God can do it. We can't do it, but God can. I mean, look at the problem we have, but you see, God can settle all these problems. He can take care of it. And you say, Lord, been good to you. Nehemiah reviewed the hands of God. See, God blesses according to principles. Did y'all know that? God blesses according to principles. Now, he's a God of eternity, God, but he blesses according to principles. In Revelation chapter 3, he talks about an open door. Book there is talking to a Philippian church, I believe, and he's talking about this open door. God bless according to principles. Now, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8, I'd like to read this to you. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, it is, he writes, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man opens. I know thy work. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And no man can shed it, for thou hast a little strength, and have kept my word, and has not denied my name. Now, God's going to bless and bless this church. God's going to bless this church. He's going to bless your life, my family life, according to these three principles right there in that verse of Scriptures. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8 that he's dealing with. You know, listen to what he said now, because it's the same thing in all of our life, our family life, and your business life. In our church and in our nation, I have set before you an open door. That's the door of opportunity he set before you. Now, start with it. If these three things is activated by the Spirit of God. He says, I know thy works. Well, they've done this work there in the Spirit of God. He said, I know thy works. You see, that's one way he blessed them, because we do these activities in the Spirit of God. If we don't do it in the Spirit of God, it's not works of God. We got to do it in the Spirit of God. So he activates by the Spirit of God. Everything we did should come from the Spirit of God. But then he said, you know what? Because the next thing I'm going to bless you with, because it's been saturated with the Word of God in your hearts, your life, your church, your family life, and your home life, it's been saturated with the Word of God. He said that you have kept my Word. As you saturate yourself, your home life, your personal life, and from the Word of God, as we come to church, we come to Sunday school, we come to Wednesday night and Sunday night, and you hear the Word of God, and you go home and you read the Word of God. We saturate ourselves with the Word of God. You kept my Word of God. Then he's going to bless you, these three things. And then he says, you know what? You dedicate it to the Son of God. Then he says, has not denied my name. That's Jesus Christ speaking. You have not denied my name. Now, when you get this in your life, he says, I'm going to give you that person. I'm going to give that family. I'm going to give that church. I'm going to give them what? I'm going to give them an open door. I have opened this door. And he says, no man shall shut it. That's what God's going to give your family and give your life, give your personal life, give this church. If we keep these three things in mind of what God's going to give us, he says, then I'm going to give you an open door. What is an open door? An open door is an opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ in your heart and your life this hour, or whatever hour that God works on you. God works and acts according to principles. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to work on those principles. I tell you, the time is about out. But I'd like to maybe squeeze in just one more. I like squeezing one more. Nehemiah, he faced the fool. I'm going to tell you this opportunity now that we know that God has given us, each one of us, he said, I'm going to give you that open door. Are we all together now? We've done all these things now. Now you're going to face some opposition. We got ready to do all this thing. And then there's always some opposition. Are y'all ready to do something for the Lord tonight? Have I got you ready to do something for the Lord tonight? You got somebody on your heart and your mind, but you see, when you start to do something for the Lord, then guess what? He faced the foe because there's always some opposition. But, verse 19, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobias the servant, the Amorite, Geshem the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Any time we get ready to build, he says, let's rise and build. We're going to have some of the host of hell will rise up and try to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Satan will stop you if he can. The door of opportunity swings on the hinges now of opposition. Everything that we tell them to do, I'm going to tell you, the door of opportunity, he opens up this door, but it swings on, I'm going to tell you, on the hinges on this opposition and criticism. Paul said, there is an effectual door open unto us and many adversaries. Always somebody, always something going to try to stop us from being what we ought to be for the Lord and doing what we want to do. Boy, I'm ready to go out and witness. I'm ready to do what God said. I'm ready to build that Sunday school class. I'm ready to build this. I'm ready to. But there's always some opposition, always some criticism. Now, it comes in these three men. Now, these three men I just read now, Sanballat, Tobias, and also, where other man is, whatever his name was. Anyway, these three men, they represent the opposition, the devil himself. Always in some churches there, always in your life, always be the criticism, always be some opposition, always. Oh, Sanballat. Oh, sandpaper Sanballat. You know what his name means? His name means thorn. Thorn. It's thorn. Here, old thorn says, I'm going to just laugh at you. You know what? He's always a pain in the side. You see, you're going to rise up and build and do something. Well, old thorn comes around, they're going to make fun of you. Old thorn come around, he's going to always be sticking. You try to grow, try to do something, he's going to be punchy. He's got the problems right there, old thorn. Old thorn, he can't see the roses for the thorns on the roses. You do anything and bring anything to the church, boy, that old thorn will come out. Always some thorns. Always some criticism. Can't see the good because of the criticism. Always that old thorn, everything that you do. People being saved, but that's all right. Old thorn comes around and want to find some fault. This is the devil, I'm going to tell you, three musketeers right here. Tobias, he's got a religious name. His name is Jehovah is good. Jehovah is good. He or she be the one, but boy, we'll be right with you when this happens. But let something get out of the, let's be out of the way a little bit, and they'll turn on you on a dime. And they'll be your opposition the rest of the time. The criticism, let you try to do something, you'll find the criticism is there. Ogeshan there, his name is Rain. Get your Sunday school class fired up doing something, and I tell you, they'll rain all over it. You get it fired up, you get the church fired up, and here comes somebody, a rain all over it. And they'll out in that fire if they can. We don't need this, and we don't need that. The devil three musketeers. But opportunity, I'm going to tell you tonight. Our opposition ought not discourage us, it ought to encourage us, because we know whenever we start to do something for the Lord, there's always going to be that. So ought not discourage you when something comes by, or these three comes around and tries to discourage you, because it ought to encourage us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater he that's in us than he that's in this world. There's no way that you're going to do anything for the Lord and escape criticism. I can tell you that from firsthand many, many times. You're always going to have criticism. Always going to have criticism. But you keep going. Last thing in chapter 3, we just find out that, you read this chapter 3, you find out that they started building. Everybody started building next to his own house. That's what we need to start building, to get our own home. You need to start right here to start with, and our own self, then our own home, then as we reach out to other people in our family, in our community, in our nation as it goes on. I hope God helped you out tonight through his word. He did me. He did me. And there's one person that I got to stand before. And what I do for the Lord. I know I don't please everybody always, but I hope I please God, because he's the one that I got to stand before. How about you? You got somebody on your heart and mind, and I hope the Lord really works on you. If nothing else this night, this hour, we'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Brother Wayne Carter, do you mind dismissing us, please?